Lord. We know that you are looking down. We know in the prayer requests that Lisa gives for the servicemen, you hear everyone. We're not praying in vain. We're not doing anything in vain. We are praising you, Lord, just giving thanks to you for all your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, I had in mind, I've just written a short thing on the four aspects of the Christian life, but something happened. Now I'll tell you about it. But anyway, these are they, because I probably won't go back to them. Living in Christ, and we saw that up there about Christ being our life. Leaving sin behind, laboring to enter the rest of God, and responding to pressure and what pressure results in. And the reason that I am accenting that, again, I've preached on these a number of times, is because when the Lord comes, we picture that, well, most people will go. You know, there may be a few that don't. And that isn't the case. There'll only be a few. Remember, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." There'll only be a few. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. And so when I talk to you about making Christ your life and leaving sin behind and entering the rest of God and how you respond to pressure, you say, "Well, I've heard it before." Yes, you have heard it before. You may hear it again. But you see, the thing is, these four things are necessary. If you hope when the Lord comes with his saints to be gathered to them, which is the first step before the ascension, you have got to be different from the average church member of today. They're not going anyplace. Christ is not their life. They haven't left sin behind. They've never heard of the rest of God. And they don't understand that the pressures on them are to work change in their house from heaven, which is not a mansion but a body that will clothe this present body. Those four things: to make Christ your life, to leave sin behind. Why, today they say we can't do that. That's the devil's talk. Three, to enter the rest of God, which is probably the central thesis of the books of Hebrew, and which church people don't know what you're talking about. They think it means the Sabbath day. And fourthly, that the pressures that are on you in 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 4 for the purpose of changing. So you have a body on earth and you have a counterpart in heaven. And as you respond to the various pressures, whether you respond correctly by praying and suffering under the hand of God, or whether you groan and complain and cheat and try to get out of it, all that change your response changes your body that is presently in heaven. And in the day of resurrection, you will be clothed with that body. See, the things that we have done in the body, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for good or for bad, you're going to be clothed with your response to the various pressures. And the earth is a pressure cooker. Its purpose is so that we'll suffer and get rid of sin. Hebrews 4:1, arm yourself with a mind to suffer, because he that has suffered has ceased from sin. Now see, that's the purpose of our suffering, is to make us in the image of God. But we don't see that change here. Nobody sees the difference in us. They don't know what's going on. But it's happening to our body in heaven, the body with which we will be clothed. And in the case of the first resurrection, when the Lord comes, and in the final resurrection at that time, you will be clothed with what you have done, so to speak. And so that's why I accent these things, not because I enjoy being a doctrinaire or legalistic, but because if you don't do them, you're not going to go when the Lord comes. Believe me, we have a false assumption that when Paul said we all will go, see, he was speaking before there were even houses of worship, just disciples gathered in homes. They were altogether different from the churchgoers of today. And so it's like I spoke to you last week about pitch blend, the ore from which radium is isolated. Madame Curie and her husband had a backyard full of pitch blend, tons of it, to get a little bit of radium. And that's what it is. I'm sorry. I can't say everybody's going. We're not. Maybe one of a church. You say, well, how will I know? Is Jesus your life? Jesus says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you shall appear. Altogether different from what we hear. Secondly, are you leaving sin behind, or are you still working with besetting sins? You don't have the victory over them, so you've given up. Never give up. Keep resisting them and ask Christ to help you, and every single sin will go. In spite of the teaching of today that we have to sin, we do not. Romans 8:12, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We've been lied to by false shepherds that are just trying to fill their churches, and so they please the people. But see, Christ never, you read the things he said, he never sought to please people. When they all left him by the thousands in the pit, and the radium was left, 12 men in John 6, the radium was left. Those that were hoping for another free lunch left when they heard about the body and blood. The whole pitch blend left. And Jesus said, oh, don't go. There'll be nobody here. What did he say? Will you also go? And when Peter said, you're the only show in town, Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? See, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, we have enough warnings in the Bible, but the church is, as I say, because of false shepherds. And I don't like to down the brethren. They're all good men. But if they're false shepherds, they're teaching lawless grace. They're teaching a rapture of everybody, which is not gonna happen. So they're false shepherds. They don't mean to be. And they need prayer. And God's going to do something about it. But the people are in theologic confusion. They have no idea when the Lord comes and the trumpet blows that only a few are going to go. Those that are fit to be in the army of the Lord and to rule the nations will go. The rest will continue with their life as usual. And that's why I stress these things, not because I have nothing else to preach about, but because it's the game. It's, you either do it or you're going to be left here when the Lord comes to go on with your business as usual, pretty much. So don't take the word. See, the word is not maudlin. It's not sentimental. It's not, that's why I love this offertory. See, there was no romantic aura on there, no beautiful sound, nothing, just the word. And the word is powerful, powerful. Every word of God is powerful. It is not maudlin. It is not romantic. It is not, what do we call, nostalgic. It's not the dear old campground at Alton Bay or the little church in the Wildwood. It's strong. Every word of Christ is stronger than the universe. And there's nothing romantic about it. There's nothing sweet about it. The word is not sweet. There was no perfume on it. It's bitter. It's sweet in your mouth, but in your stomach it's bitter because it's calling you, as the scripture so wonderfully presented, to be changed. And we're changed by the renewing of our mind. And when most of our mind is spent on the electronic communications, it's not being transformed. It's not being changed. And so the idea that any day now the whistle will blow and we'll all go up and the cars will run into each other is pure fantasy. One of a church, two of a church, none in a church. Many are called, few are chosen. Have not I chosen you 12 out of 5,000? That's why I repeat these four aspects of the Christian life over and over. You can read my writings. My writings are not read, generally speaking, because they're not advertised. And I've prayed to God about that. And he said, yeah. The Lord gives the word. And great will be the company of those that publish it. So you just concentrate on the word. Don't get distracted. Concentrate on the word, and I'll do the rest. So it's embarrassing to me to have people come to church. Look down my writings that we're reading years ago. But you see, people, there's a time of death coming. Many will die, some from nature's uproar, some from an atomic war. A prophet, when we were in Bible school, told us that atomic fire will burn on the earth for 7 years. And it will, and I would say we're heading up to World War III. And a lot of people are going to die. Thousands shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. And so, years ago, and I'm not selling books, you understand, I care nothing about it, and I'm not going to make God's house a house of merchandise. But I feel that he told me something very important about 9 o'clock or 8:30 as I was trying to go to sleep. And this is what God talked to me about. I said, Lord, you said, since you then have risen with Christ, set your affection on minds above things. Above. And I said, Lord, I don't see anything's above. I have a literary mind. I do not have a good graphic mind. I do not have a good imagination. Words. You're telling us what's up there. Yeah, I'm kind of complaining to the Lord. I said, how I want to be obedient. This isn't a suggestion. Paul says, since then you have been risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. He didn't say, this might be a good idea when you feel like it. So I'm laying in bed and I'm trying to picture things. How can you picture being at the right hand of God in Christ? Now, what comes to your mind? Are we in Christ's pocket? Are we some kind of a multitude? When Daisy Dryden was dying, little Daisy Dryden, her tombstone's in Sacramento, I believe, father's a minister, and when she was dying, her eyes were open to the spirit world. And she said, at the foot of my bed, there are just crowds of people, crowds of people. Is that what it's like when we die? Is that what it's like? Just crowds of people wandering around. Paul said he was caught up to paradise. but he couldn't speak the words. Nobody will tell us what it's like when we die. Oh, but we have the last two chapters of Revelation. Yes, that's talking about 1,000 years from now at the conclusion of the kingdom age. Revelation chapters 21 and 22, that's not for when you die. That's 1,000 years from now. It's after the final resurrection. But what happens when we die? We have the witch of Endor. She called up Samuel, and he said, "Why are you bothering me? I was resting." God said to Daniel, "Go and rest until your time." But nobody will tell us what happens when you die. So here I am complaining to the Lord. I said I would be more than happy to set my things, mine on things above if I knew what they were. But to tell me that I'm risen with Christ, what does that tell me? That's already true now. You have risen with Christ. And you'll never guess what the Lord told me. And you can believe it or not. It's not up to me. I'm obedient. Stupid maybe, but obedient. I got that going for me. He said, "Your book is true." He said, "While people, everybody's death is different."
What's the name of the book?
Godwill Castle. And he said, "That's the way it is. That's heaven." I said, like, wow. I didn't realize that. I should have. About 6 or so years ago, I had a feeling about people's fear of death, particularly children. And the parents die. Or the children are, and you realize how many children right now are terminally ill and their parents are weeping over them? Do you realize that? Go down to Sharps and look at the parking lot. People are in there weeping because their little boy or girl has a terminal illness and there's nothing can be done. Diseases are progressing now. Gonorrhea, which is probably the most well-known venereal disease. Now there's a bug out that will not heal it. And the effects of gonorrhea, commonly called claps on the street. The effects of it are terrible. And they used to be able to cure it with penicillin. Not anymore. It's out. Evolved the medicines. This is a taste of the future in addition to wars, rumors of wars, nature in an uproar because of sin. Now, you go out of here depressed unless, like me, you're looking forward and hoping for death. Now, why are you hoping for death? I don't want to die until my responsibilities are fulfilled. And God knows that, and he won't let it happen. But I'm crippled. You can run around the house. I can't run around the house. I have to pray to get from the bed to the bedroom door. I have to pray that I don't fall down. Grabbing, holding onto the wall and chairs and everything else. I wasn't like that 2 years ago. But it has done me good, and I praise God for it. It has brought me much closer to the Lord. And so about 6 years ago, in my mind, I was thinking about children in particular, and anybody who's afraid of dying. See, dying ought to be, like C.S. Lewis said, the summer holidays. I love the summer holidays, the endless music. Practice was all right. I'd have to have a recital and I could go run, swim, run through the woods, whatever. The summer holidays. That's what death is to me. And I've described it in this book. I didn't realize it, but I should have, because when I was writing it, it was like Harriet Beecher Stowe. She wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin as a picture would come before it, and she'd describe it, and then another picture, and then another picture. That's That's what happened here, and I don't see in pictures. I should have known. And, you know, I always associated Joel's army with Revelation 19, coming of the Lord's army. It isn't. And while I was getting this inspiration for this book, the Lord made it clear to me that Joel's army has nothing to do with Revelation 19. It's the destruction of civilization, not Antichrist's army. I wrote about what it was like inside the holy city. And went on to other things. And the Lord reminded me, you haven't said enough about it. Go back and write more about it. That's how real it was to me. And here I'm scribbling along. For those of you that are listening, it's over 400 pages, about 440 pages long. So, I'm not selling books, okay? Let me give you some idea. I'll read you the table of contents. Introduction, Heaven at Last, Visiting Relatives, Godwill Castle. It's called Godwill Castle because 70 years ago I told the Lord in Bible school, you tell me your will, give me the grace and I'll do it. And I've kept that for 70 years and so God named my castle. Not everybody has a castle, but a lot of people do. And there's a separate, whole separate city, the heavenly Jerusalem on a mountain, where God's elect are being prepared. And that's the reason for the 1,000 years is to make God's elect, the royal priesthood, ready to serve. In the first resurrection that will happen when Jesus is coming, it's only for one in a church. And people are waiting for a rapture. Another lie. It's a lie. The rapture is a lie. I've seen ministers tell people to jump up and down next to their chair to prepare for the rapture. And the rapture is described in Revelation 20, verse 6. Those who judge, and are blessed and holy. And the second death has no authority over them. How many church people do you think that describes? They're the ones in the first resurrection and who will rule with Christ. What a day we're in, the theologic errors. Errors. Godwill Castle, a community. That's how people live in heaven, in communities. There's American communities and English communities and Nordic communities and Scotch communities. People are there with people whose culture is similar to their own and their language is the same and they can understand them and they're being taught the Bible. That's what's going on in heaven. And there's great schools for people that can't cut the mustard and God doesn't want to put them in. The spirit world, and I learned all this writing this book, is divided into the land of light and the land of darkness. And at the bottom of the land of darkness is hell. And people say, I'll see you in hell. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what hell is like. But there's a lot of intermediate steps where people are, and they can't get out of it. They can't go into the land of light. There's a division. Remember what Abraham said to the rich man when he died? He said, we cannot go from here to there. So trust the Bible and forget the traditions. Trust the Bible. It's true, every single word. The theologic term is the plenary verbal inspiration of the inspired scriptures. Plenary means full. The full, word for word, the Bible will never change, not for eternity, not one semicolon. But that's not what's being preached today. It's lawless grace. Dear Jesus, help us all. God's temple, which is not the same as the source of power in the holy city. I learned an awful lot of this. I didn't realize it right in the book. And that's coming back to me. God said, you want to set your affection on things above? Set them on things in your book. The parade. The parade is preparation for the coming of the Lord. You know, that takes preparation. It comes with his army of angels. One thing that if you read the book, And I can't vouch for this. I'm telling you what God told me, and you'll have to live or die with it. Barbara,
Robert.
You've read it. What do you think?
Awesome.
She said,
it's like you jump right into the book and you're there. It is so real. It's like no man.
She said to me, you must have been in heaven when you wrote it. Teaching in the New Jerusalem. That's the purpose of it. That's why we're there. The whole thing is that we might become perfect. You remember in Hebrews 12, spirits of righteous people made perfect. That's the purpose of the 1,000 years. The royal priesthood is there because most of them didn't make the first resurrection. God has a lot of people calling to be priests, but they can't yet serve as a divine representative of the God of heaven. That takes being in the image of God. What else in here? Playland, where the little children are. We worry about little children. You read about them being raped and murdered. Save your grief. They're so happy with Jesus. It's altogether different from the earth. See, the kingdom is like little children. I wrote in there in Playland about some dogs that were marching and singing a song that the angels taught them. And one lady wrote to me and said, the dog you described, that's my dog. He died, see? She said, that's my dog. You think there aren't dogs in heaven? I saw angels when our dog died, standing by a bear when and injecting her with that which would put her to sleep. I never thought of it. You know, I'm driving home and there was two angels there. And then I said, Lord, dogs in heaven. But then he took me to Revelation 11 and to the kingdom ages, all kind of animals. And the little children play with the poisonous animals. They're not poisonous anymore. Child, it says, put his hand on the hole of the asp or something. Yeah. God told Brother Branham, the greatest gift of healing of the 20th century. He said, everything you love will be in heaven. Even your rocking chair. He said, I don't believe that. You'd believe it if you saw Brother Branham minister. Audrey and I were in two of his services. William Branham. Uneducated, simple, simple man. Boy, he saw an 8-foot angel, and from then on he had a gift of healing. And what a gift of healing. Not like today where they go in lines. He'd call out one person a service. You know, this is where you live, and this is what your street looks like. And this is the number of your house. And by that time they'd come up. And they'd be healed. The faith rose up into them until they could be healed. You don't see that much, do you? We were in a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, and it was good, but nothing like William Branham. Blessing, Lord. Playland, where all the children were playing. One little girl, this is in my book, one little girl, she wouldn't be comforted. She was about 4 years old, and I and my guardian angel we're standing on the outside. See, Playland is guarded very carefully. You cannot go in there. No adult can see it or go near it unless by special permission. And I was, because of what I was doing, I was able to see this little girl sitting, and she was so sad. And then all of a sudden, a guinea pig appeared in her lap. She said, there's Eeper. And the Lord said, the Lord was with us. And he said, she'll be all right now. Oh, God. Children marching, hiding in tunnels, singing, laughing, and their parents weeping. Don't weep about the summer holidays. And you know something? I've never heard this anywhere, but the Lord told me that in his army that comes, there's going to be adult saints, there's going to be angels. But there's also going to be a very special army of children that were aborted. And in the battle of Armageddon, The angel army is there. The army of saints are there. But in the forefront was the army of aborted children. And all they had was Bibles. No swords, just Bibles. And there was, at Har Megiddo, there was the army of Antichrist. Their flamethrowers and tanks and things that could send atomic warheads, planes. And here these little boys and girls came at them with their Bibles. I never read it anywhere. I don't know if I'll say it happened. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And the child would say to one of the United Nations soldiers, "Will you serve Jesus as your king?" And if he would say yes, an angel would come and take him away to a place of safety. And if he said no, an angel would kill him on the spot, send his spirit down to hell. This one thing that will not be tolerated in heaven is disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty soon, there was nothing but dead bodies. Antichrist was thrown into hell at that time. The false prophet was thrown into hell at that time. And a powerful angel came down and chained Satan and threw him in the bottomless pit. And then the whole army went back across the Euphrates. And No. I can't remember the details. But anyway, Christ was crowned king at that time. There were so many people, there wasn't room for the angels, so they stayed in the air. And King David put the crown on his head, his greater son. King David, after committing the worst sin in the world, King David, it shows you when God forgives, he forgets. King David, the worst sin, killing Uriah the Hittite, one of the mighty men. He wasn't even a Jew, he was a Hittite. And marrying his daughter. And if my memory serves, out of that union came Solomon. The way God does things. And there's a story you'll enjoy. Someone said, "What's the title?" I'll tell you how you can get this book, and I'm not selling them. That's God's job. You go on your computer or your tablet and type in Amazon.com, and a rectangle will come up, and type in there GODWILL space castle, God will castle, and Amazon will take you from there. I think it's about $15, if I remember, plus maybe $3 shipping. But there's also a digital version, which is a third of the price, that you can read on your tablet. Not just a Kindle, but most all tablets will take the AZW extension. And you can read it on your tablet when you're on vacation. God will castle. Oh, yes. And there's one story in there that I'll try to tell you. It has to do with a little girl. And she had a Cocker Spaniel. And her stage name was, I think her real name was Deborah, and her stage name was Sarah. She was in Hollywood with her parents, who were actors. Her father was an actor. And she had a little dog. Oh, the dog's name, I can't remember. Doesn't matter. It'll come to me. And someone stole the dog, and they took it to Florida. They didn't know where it was, and the family advertised and rewards and everything. And she sang a song. Life is not the same when you're not here. And a truck driver coming across the country saw a little disheveled Cocker Spaniel making his way back to the West there in California. And he dropped it off at a humane society in New Mexico. And they had been advertising for this for their dog, and he had read the advertisement and he left it at the Humane Society. Someone has put that Amazon page, I see it here. And by the way, I think as you go down, I think at this point in Amazon, every one of my books is listed, but most all are in a digital format. They have not been printed as yet. And so he left it off at the Humane Society, and they contacted the little girl and her family, and they'd had many disappointed evidence when people thought they had found the dog. And they went there, and there was their dog. Well, anyway, she grew up in Hollywood, and her father married an actress, and her mother was into money. And of course, she was making all kinds of money because her song, Life is Not the Same When You're Not Here, was played all over the world. So she was rich. And she went the way of Hollywood, and she was living by herself in a hotel, and the maid came up and spilled coffee on her nightdress. And she became enraged, and she took the butter knife and jumped out of bed and stabbed her, cut the maid's throat. And a man in the hotel came up and saw the blood pulsing out of the nurse's throat and went down. He was so excited, he fell down the stairs. Stout man. Called the police, and they came and arrested Sarah. And by this time, she went out of her mind. So they locked her up. After a couple of years, she died. And when God was taking me with my guardian angel, can't even remember his name. Through the land of darkness, one of the deeper levels, people were chained to stakes. And little Sarah was there, chained to a stake. And she lunged at them. She couldn't reach them, trying to scratch them with her filthy fingernails. And she went back and sat by the stake, and she had a little toy stuffed dog, Cocker. So we went on down our way till we came to hell, and we saw the things that were going on in there, indescribable. And now I'm going to bring you over to the last resurrection. And I was sitting in one of the, there were chairs that came out from the great white, thrones that came out from the great white throne. And those that had attained to the first resurrection were seated in them because all the population of the earth was being judged at that time. And the judgments described in there, and some of the people that came by me that I judged. And then there came a little girl. By this time she was a big girl, a lady. And she had a stuffed toy, a Cocker. And I recognized her. And I said, "You're Sarah, aren't I? Aren't you?" And she said, "Where's Arnold?" Arnold was a Christian boy that had tried to lead her to the Lord. "Where's Arnold?" And she told me about a lamb. "Where's the lamb?" And she said, "I've done terrible things." And I said, "The lamb is Jesus. Would you obey him?" And she asked about Jesus. She said, "Could he forgive me?" And I said, "Would you obey him?" And she said, "Yes, I would love him. I would obey him." She had on black garments, and they began to change. And she began to shrink. And out of her, there was about 15 fiends that began to come out one at a time. And to my right, there was a lake of fire, bubbles burning sulfur on the surface. And there was God's angels there. And they be, and as these fiends came out of Sarah, they struck them into the lake of fire until they were all gone. And she flopped on the floor. She is back, a little girl. And she said, I love Jesus, and I'll do everything he says. And she came up and jumped in my lap at the final judgment. And she got down and she walked off with her little stuffed toy. And I said, look down, Sarah. And there was her original cocker. And she said, I love Jesus best of all, but I love my little doggy and my stuffed toy. And she went, and another person came to be judged. That's the kind of thing that God showed me. And he says, think about God will cast. That's a description of heaven. So, I'm not going to have time for the things of the Christian life to talk to you. I already mentioned to you the four things. But you've got to do them. If you expect to be in the first resurrection, you've got to be filled with the life of Christ instead of your own. And that comes as you turn away from the electronic communications. And you've got to turn away from your sin with Christ's help. And you've got to enter the rest of God, where you pray until you find out what God has spoken to you from the foundation of the world, instead of planning your own life. That's Hebrews 4. And finally, in the many beatings that you get in life, remember, Christ knows everyone, and therefore a purpose, so that when he lifts you up, there'll be resurrection life for other people as you go on your discipleship, dying and living, dying and living, dying and living. If you do that, when the trumpet sounds, you'll be drawn to where they are being resurrected that came with Jesus, and you'll be changed. And after a period of fellowship, maybe 40 days, that was after Christ's resurrection, you'll ascend with them to the staging area in the sky where the white stallions are. There's a stallion there with your name on it, and the army of angels, and the army of aborted children. These children, you see, when they were aborted, they went straight to the nursery of God. I saw that nursery one time. Audrey and I were in Israel, in Jerusalem, on Ben Maimon Street. And I went and I looked out the window, and there was the garden of aborted children. It was so holy. I looked at it for a fraction of a second. It was so holy. And these children are raised by the Lord and his angels. They've never known. They can remember. They can go see their parents on the earth if they want to. They don't have to. But that's the army that I saw killing the United Nations army of Antichrist. Little boys and girls inviting with their Bibles, inviting people. See, they've been taught the Bible. They've been to school to learn some of the things of earth. And there they were. And in the day of when the new sky was going to, we're going to see that New Jerusalem coming down to be installed on a high mountain of the new earth. At that time, these children, I was their father. That's what they told me. These are your children. They were grown up. They lived in the around Godwill Castle. They were moved from their training ground to live in various buildings around Godwill Castle. And they were there as we began to march down the slope of the New Jerusalem. And the people lined up on the side, and battalions of angels on this side, to remind the peoples of the earth that the laws of God will be installed with force. And we were going on. And one of my favorite pieces was being played. It's called A Trumpet Voluntary. You ever hear it? What a day. What a day when the royal priesthood comes marching down. The saints come marching in to set up their places on the earth where they can help the people. Because all the earth is much larger than the present earth and filled with everyone that God has saved. He hasn't sent everyone to hell. These people then will be taught by the royal priesthood the ways of God. And if they accept them, they'll have entrance into the holy city where the tree of life is and the river of the Holy Spirit, and they can gain eternal life and be healed by the fruit of the tree of life. Healed emotionally, healed physically. But outside are the dogs and the envious and the whoremongers and all the rest of them. The wall, that's why the main thing you see is the jasper wall. Nothing enters into there. God is through with sin. And that army of children, young people, will last forever. And when anybody in God's creation, because you see, they'll be migrating out to the stars before long. There'll be Edens all over again, and anybody gets a mind to disobey God, immediately the angels will notify the children's army, and they'll be there to give that person and take them to see where people are in the lake of fire. Give them a warning. And if they don't change, and if they won't obey Christ, they go into the lake of fire. Because there will be no sin ever approach God ever again. You want to remember, Satan was a covering cherub. He was one of the two that overshadowed the throne of God. That's the one that said, I'll be like the Most High, and has caused the evil that you experience today in the world. That covering cherub is behind it. And God says, never again will sin come into my presence. And that's why you're being trained, that you might partake in that first resurrection. That'd be wonderful. If you have any questions about the book, just remember, type in Amazon.com. It'll even come, the digital form will even come on your PC, on your personal computer. Just type in Amazon.com. Fill in Godwill Castle. And here it will come, right on your personal computer. And they'll debit your credit card. I think it's about $6, if I remember. And, of course, there are no transportation charges, no mailing charges. Any questions? I'm not saying all I've told you is true. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what came to me. And last night I felt strongly, and this morning I felt strongly, yes. Tell the church. Because, see, it will go out. I think I looked at Google Analytics. I think in the month of September there was an average of, I don't know whether it was an average or a total of what, 30,000 people read what was written. Not hits. Pages read. I just told Vi, just give me a link to the pages read. What the hits, people hit it and go on, you know. And then there was a number on the tape. We're listening to the tape. So it's getting out. And so people heard it beside the people in this room. And there it is. And I make no case for it, but I'll tell you, the lawless grace and rapture teaching are lies. They are not of God. They have kept the church in a state of babyhood. And they tell the babies, go out and get more babies. Go out and get more babies. They say, we have the Great Commission. Let me tell you something. Religion is built on that which God in the past, whether it's the Great Commission or the Ten Commandments or what it is, that's religion. That isn't God today. It was God in one day, but it's not God today. You say, I want to know God today, then tell him you want to know him and obey him. Just tell him, I'll obey you whatever you say. Lord God, I want to know you, and you'll hear truth. Whether it's the Great Commission or the Ten Commandments or don't eat pork, it won't be any of those things. But God finally spoke to me at the altar at 6th and Fir in San Diego. And I knew he was going to speak to me. And I was at the altar, and a friend of mine was playing a marvelously dexterous on the piano, parallel octaves. He was very good, and I could hear them. But I knew God was going to speak to me. And I turned over on my back to hear. I thought maybe he's going to tell me to go to Tibet and wear just a sweater. I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm going to do it. God said to me three words. I love you. That's all he said. So don't be afraid to hear from God. Anything he tells you to do, he'll give you the grace to do it. Okay? That's 30 for today, people. If you have any questions, are there any questions about what I've said? Anybody have a question? It'll be on the tape. That's 30 for today, so God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I have obeyed you. I have done what you said. I have advanced the four aspects of the Christian life and told the church you cannot possibly attain to the first resurrection unless you do what God has said. We had an offertory that told us you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The unadulterated word of God, not romantic, not nostalgic, not colorful, not sweet. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We obey it or we don't. And on that hangs what will happen when the trumpet blows. I know this is a time of preparation, Jesus, here and in the spirit world. And I know they've heard what I've said. Faithfulness to you, Lord. Faithful to you. That's all that matters. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning and for the things we've learned and the different things that we can now test and pray and see if they're from God. And I pray you'll speak to each one as they have their hearts set for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And you can talk to Barbara Roberts if you want. She's read it. She has read it. She went to a great deal of trouble to read it, too. It wasn't all packaged nice like this.